We just got back last Wednesday night from the General Council. Happens every other year with the Christian Missionary Alliance. And this was a sweet time. Thank you as to the congregation for sending Sarah and I to go and to hear what's happening in the Alliance, abroad. There's so many stories. There's an element that it goes with the Alliance. We are a family. And that's part of President Stumbo's passion, and he has laid out the vision and the theme for the Alliance that we are a Christ-centered Acts 1-8 family. And you sense that here as well. And we had the privilege of watching Mike and Renee be commissioned to go into Burkina Faso, and so they are fully accredited, licensed, now commissioned Alliance workers, and they are heading to Burkina Faso, and we got to see that firsthand. I had a chance to watch the video before we ever left, so I had seen that. I knew that it was coming. I didn't quite realize how it was all going to work out, but it was really cool having seen that video and then watching them be commissioned to go out into Burkina Faso. But the theme that you saw in the video is really something that resonated, not necessarily with that specific people group, though I'm impassioned by the idea of all people groups being able to be exposed to the gospel. But there's something that resonated in my heart while I was sitting there through those sessions and in the morning. So I would go in the morning. By the way, thank you for sending me to Orlando when it's like record-setting heat. It was pretty much like stepping into a sauna and doing push-ups. Sarah really enjoys the heat. I'm born in this area. I'd rather have January 40 below than I would the Orlando in 100 degree heat. But that's why I stayed indoors in the sessions in air conditioning while sometimes she took the kids out to the pool. Anyway, that's just an aside. But with this idea of we have these people groups who have never heard the name Jesus or have heard the gospel. And that's just astounding. And so we in our community, we look around, and for the most part, we in this area have strong, at least religious affiliations, whether it's Lutheran, whether it's Protestant, whether it's Catholic. In all these facets, we have a lot of exposure to the Bible. We have a lot of exposure to Christ. And yet, I think we are missing an opportunity that perhaps is right before us. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. And I've seen some things. This has been stirring for a number of years. I don't remember the exact date, but I remember sitting around with some people that were from the church. Some of them no longer attend here. And we were discussing this idea, what do we do? What is the Lord calling us to? And one of the elements that came up was, we have a large number at this time, a large number of Mexicans coming into the area, and many of them don't even speak English. Well, how can we reach them? And it's kind of like there was a stirring, and nothing really came out of it. And so we're going to look at that this morning. I'm going to be sharing a passage of Scripture that one of the speakers shared on, and he just did a fabulous job on it. In hearing what he had to say, I'm thinking, yes, that is right. That is for us. And I wanted to bring it back and at least share that passage. We talked about it's going to be Ephesians chapter 2. I'll have all the verses will be on the screen. But if you'd like to follow along in the Bible, by all means, please do so. But it's a passage we shared about, we talked about probably a couple of years ago, maybe even 3 years ago already at this time. And so it's something that for those of you who have been here for quite some time, we've gone through it, we've studied it. But I want us to be able to look at it in maybe a new light and to see some things. But before we jump into that, let's look at this passage here. This is kind of the theme verse for the Alliance. And it probably has been really for quite a number of years. When you look at the book of Acts, which actually we're going to be studying the book of Acts once we finish up with Daniel, and so we'll look at this again at that time. But in Acts chapter 1, this very first chapter of Acts, if you don't know the history of the book of Acts, it was written by Luke, the same author as the Gospel of Luke, and he writes in regards to kind of telling the story of how this church was established, how this church was built up. And at the very beginning, he leaves us with this verse, and this is kind of the whole theme verse of the book of Acts. You can kind of boil it down to almost in a sense is one, and this is what it says. He says, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That is so important right there. Anything that we talk about from here on out, it's this Holy Spirit, okay? Anything that's going to happen, anything that's worth happening, anything that's going to change and be done, if the Holy Spirit isn't driving it, isn't leading it, we need to take a step back and say, is this worth doing? But I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit is moving us in a direction this morning, and I feel like we need to be ready for the Holy Spirit to say, yes, you need to be on board with this. But this is where, when you receive, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And this is a fascinating little snippet that he lays out here. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so just giving you a picture as to what Luke is expressing here, and this is what we look at. So this is Israel, New Testament Israel. So when Luke is writing this, this is in a sense what he is saying. He says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That's the city. Okay, you will be my witness. You are going to go into the city where you are at, and you're going to spread this gospel. You're going to share with the people that you find there about me, about what it is that I have done, about how I have saved you, how I died on the cross for your sins. I was buried, and yet I rose again. That is what you're going to share to people. And then you also, not only Jerusalem, if we read it correctly, it said also then Judea, which was, remember, the divided kingdom. We've been talking about that with Daniel and some of those Old Testament passages. You had the nation of Israel, and it was divided. 10 tribes went to the north, 2 tribes went to the south, and it became Judea, all right? And then what we found is after it says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and you will be my witnesses in Judea. Then you will be my witnesses in Samaria. See how it spreads? And then it goes on to say, even to the ends of the earth. And so it's kind of like this bullseye, if you will. You're going to start here, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. And not only will you be my witnesses in Jerusalem, you'll be my witnesses in your community. So not only witnesses in Little Falls, but let's say Morrison County, if you will. All right. And then not only that, we'll also go into the state of Minnesota, and then you can go into the nation, the United States, but then in all the world. He keeps expanding it. And so this reality of it is, you will spread the gospel wherever you are at, but don't forget to keep looking beyond where you have been stationed. And that's one thing that sometimes we get comfortable with where we are at. We don't tend to go beyond what we're comfortable with. I want to challenge us today, as President Stumbo did, to be ready to go beyond what we're comfortable with. There's a story. So we were at council, and there was morning business meetings. Then there was an evening session. We brought the kids all to the evening session, and they had childcare for the evening session. And so you had to be under a certain age. And so Erica chose, I want to go to the children's ministry time during the business session. It's not just childcare babysitting, but they actually had ministry time. And so we'd send Erica every night. But they also had this children's ministry happening in the morning while she wasn't there at the morning, just at the night. And so every night she'd go in, she'd check in. At the end of the week, Sarah brings Erica to the children's ministry check-in point. And as she walks up, they say, Erica. And they grab a shirt, they throw a shirt over her head and say, you're on stage, we're singing. And she's going, as we're leaving, she's going, Mom, I don't know any of these songs. I have no idea. Apparently, we didn't know it. Apparently, every morning, these children's ministry had been practicing songs to be able to sing to the evening service. Well, we didn't know that. We kept sending Erica just to the evening child ministry portion. She gets there, here she is, she's thrown the shirt on, she's standing up there. Where do they put her? Front row, you know? And so here she is standing in front of the National Council front row, and she has no idea what she's doing. Suddenly she was thrown from this position of comfort to this position of, this is way beyond me. This is way beyond. And sometimes that's okay. Sometimes it's okay for us to be pushed into positions where it's a little bit beyond us, because it reminds us that where does the power come from? The power comes from the Holy Spirit. So let's never forget where that power comes from. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And I am convinced that the Holy Spirit is going to show us some things through this passage of Ephesians. It's a wonderful passage. I'm excited to share it with you, but I want you to be ready to open up your eyes, open up your minds, and let's really look. What does the Lord have for us as individuals? What does the Lord have for us as this local body? What does the Lord have for us in this church, in this community? Because it's going to be cool. So here we go. Ephesians chapter 2. This is just wonderful. So let's look at it. Right from the get-go, what we find is this is now Paul that's writing to the church in Ephesus. And wait, where to go? Back up. There we go. As for you, he says. And he's writing to this church. He says, as for you, you were dead in your sins and your transgressions. You're dead. You know what dead means? It means not breathing. It means dead. It means you are not alive. And we're just give this some thought. So he says, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. You were dead. There are people in your community, in our community, there are people that are your neighbors who do not know Jesus Christ, who would still be considered dead. However, don't forget this, and this is going to be this reminder, what we're going to find in this Ephesians chapter 2 passage. The first half, Paul's going to lay it out. This is who you were. And then the second half, he's going to say, don't forget. Keep remembering who you were and what Jesus has done for you. Why? Because we are his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in the ends of the earth. Okay? So this is what we find. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins in which you used to live. When you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. But then he goes on, look at this. He says, all of us lived among them at one time. You were there. If you have chosen to follow Christ, you should be able to remember that you were once lost. That is so pivotal to hold on to this morning, is that by the grace, except by the grace of God, you were there. All of us lived among them at one time. And then he goes on and he says, gratifying the cravings of your sinful nature and following its desires and its thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. We don't like to think of ourselves as objects of wrath. No, that's not comfortable. I don't ever want to see myself as the object of God's wrath. I like to see myself as an object of God's love. And that's in here. Because right after that, it says, you were objects of God's wrath, but, in verse 4, because of his great love. The great love that he has for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ when we were dead in transgressions. For it is by grace you have been saved. It's interesting. We talked about the idea of being dead. Every one of us were dead. You know, think of it. When Erica was born, I share her in this story because she was the one that when she was born, she came so quickly that they, I don't know what was going on because I'm not a doctor, but she had difficulty like breathing, okay? So like getting whatever out. And so the doctor was a little bit concerned. It's like, get her breathing, get her crying, whatever, whack her in the backside, whatever it takes, get that breath going. But before that, without air, she, in a sense, she's dead. I mean, yeah, there was a heartbeat, but it's not going to last. It's not going to continue. This reality of it is every one of us is dead. And if you are dead, can you make yourself alive? No. Read recently in the World Book magazine, apparently someone, they had a dog, and the dog became unresponsive. They tried to, you know, stir the dog, feed the dog, so they buried the dog. And then an animal shelter called him a few weeks ago and said, would you come and get your dog? Apparently the dog wasn't dead. Dug his way out from the grave, okay? That dog wasn't dead. When you're dead, I know it's a terrible story, but it's really funny. You know, that's one of those things that make the rest of us that make mistakes that aren't quite as bad look better, right? But understand this reality. If you're dead, you are powerless to make yourself alive. And what we find here is what Paul says in the very first verse. Don't forget, you were once dead, and now we look at it and we see the verse, Christ has made you alive. You didn't do it. He did it. Don't ever forget that you were dead and Jesus Christ has made you alive. That is incredible. And once we can start to understand that, now we have to do something with that, and we're going to look at that here in a little bit. Where am I at? Verse 5, okay. For it is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We have nothing to boast in ourselves. I want to boast a little bit on, about this church, but I want to boast in the sense of it's Christ working in this church. We have, today is Great Commission Sunday, and we will be receiving a second offering. And I fully expect that this body of believers is going to blow my mind once again the way that this church gives to the Great Commission Fund. It's interesting, and last council, 2 years ago, we were challenged by a couple of other churches. They had this competition, whatever. And they said, we want to challenge every church to tithe towards the Great Commission Fund, you know, give 10%. And it made me curious. It's like, I wonder what we give. Well, I came back and I looked. At that point, this church was already giving about 17% towards the Great Commission or missions giving. It's like, what? You know, that challenge of 10%, that's just not enough for us, you know? And so then we laid it out before the congregation again. And again, this is the Holy Spirit's leading. This is not, way to go, everyone here. It's thank you for letting the Holy Spirit challenge you with that. I want to make that super clear because I'm convinced it's the Holy Spirit that leads you to give the way that you guys have given. So this last year, if we compare the numbers again, we're pushing 20%. It's like we went from what was already, I thought, really cool to giving even more to the Great Commission as well. And it's just like, I get calls frequently from different Alliance National workers. Mike Soma's one of them. He's going to come and share with us some of his stories here later on this summer at some point. But I get calls saying, thank you for giving. And I tell them, it's like, you're welcome, but I got to be honest. It's the Lord that's doing this. This is not anything. Yes, I keep it before the people, but it's the Lord that's moving on people. We saw it happen with the recent Africa project that we did. You know, what do we do that? In 2.5 weeks, tops, raised $5,000 to put up a new house at the hospital in Africa. That's the Lord leading you to be a part of this bigger picture that is the Christian Missionary Alliance. So that's my boast. Just in that regards right now. But here's what we have is we have no reason to boast. We haven't made ourselves alive. It's Christ who has made it in us, and it is a gift of grace. There but by the grace of God go I. Right? If I didn't have the grace of Jesus Christ, I would still be dead. Don't ever forget that. In fact, that's what we find then. As Paul then tries to remind the church, reminds us. Now, this is where it gets to be important, and I want to understand the culture and the context of what we're looking at, and we'll touch on that as we go. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles at birth and called uncircumcised by those calling themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. That's who you were. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. Do you understand what's going on in this context? Here you have Ephesus, and there would have been Jews and there would have been Gentiles. What Paul does, and what the Lord, I should say, does through Paul, it's really astounding, because what you find is you have Gentiles and you have Jews, and there was intense racism going on between the two. And so what you find is you have some Jews that are holding on to a little bit of that law. Hey, we're still better. We're God's people. Yes, we believe in Jesus, but yet we hold on to a higher standard. We're still God's people. And you have the Gentiles who are coming to follow Christ, and they're coming in droves, and these Jews and these Gentiles are not seeing eye to eye, and there's still this racism occurring. You are foreigners. Yes, you can have salvation with Jesus, but you can never be one of us. And that's a huge issue. And what Paul says is, forget that. The barrier, the wall, everything has been abolished. It's gone. And he in fact says that the two would have one peace. We don't experience that kind of hostility between Jews and Gentiles at this time. You want to know why? Because most of us are all Gentiles, right? We're okay with it because we were dead. Paul came, preached the gospel to the Gentiles. It expanded to us. Here we are and we have it. So we're happy about it. And now what we have is a group of Gentiles that are worshiping together. And that's good. But I'm afraid that there might be some others who are not hearing the gospel because we're comfortable as Gentiles. And that's what I think the Lord's leading us to open our eyes and start to see who needs the gospel. We saw it in the video. It's a beautiful story. What Mike and Renee are doing, it's like they could relate to it because of what their circumstances that they're dealing with in their life, but they've realized there is a mission there. And that mission could be accomplished anywhere. They don't have to go to Burkina Faso to do it. Yes, that's where the Lord has led them. But I'm convinced that we have a mission that's happening right here that we can engage in. And it can happen on so many levels. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. Where I leave off. Verse 15. Okay. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, when you were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So here's the deal. We are called to our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's interesting when you look at what Jesus shared, and I believe it was ironically Luke, in fact, that shared this story in Luke, I want to say chapter 10, about there's a Samaritan who comes and he rescues this Jew who was laying dead on the side of the road. Remember that? There's a Jew who's laying dead on the side of the road, comes by, you know, the priest and these other Jewish leaders. Who should help him? It should be the Jews that help him. Instead, it's a Samaritan that comes in and helps him, the Good Samaritan. Remember that story? And Luke points out this discrepancy. The Samaritans, just like the Gentiles in that sense, would have been hated people. Intense racism going on. And what Jesus says is, let's open our eyes to see who our neighbors are. Let's engage them. So recently, this was this spring, I shared this story with elders and a few others as well. I alluded to it in my email this last week. We're walking by, we're at the park. Kids are playing in the park, and here comes this neighbor of ours. He lives a block away. His name is Abdi. He comes in occasionally, and he plays basketball in our driveway, usually with Isaac, but he'll come and play even if Isaac's not there, I think. Okay. The kid loves basketball. We're the only basketball hoop probably in a, you know, 1-2 block radius. And that's what he does. And so we're walking by. Here comes Abby. He's got his basketball. We're at Lincoln Elementary School. And another kid comes in. They know each other. At least it seems they start playing. Isaac goes over there because he knows them and he's greeting them. But so Isaac is standing on the side. It's one-on-one. Isaac's not engaged. And I feel like the Lord is speaking to me, not in an audible voice, but I know he wants me to do something. I grew up a wrestler. We were not pumpkin pushers. We did not do anything. If I looked at a basketball the wrong way in a grocery store or in a, you know, department store, my dad would say, "What are you looking at that for?" It was taboo. And so here I am, and I know that the Lord is leading me to do something. So I walk over, and I say to the guys, I said, "How about we play 2-on-2? And they said, "Okay." And so I played basketball. I don't play basketball well. you know? And it was fun. Why did I do it? Did I do it to show off my basketball skills? Quite certainly not. Okay? Did I do it to show off how poor I am? Maybe. There's something bigger going on than self-preservation of my physical body, self-preservation of my pride, which I know I have to wrestle with. I wanted to build a relationship, and I wanted my son to be able to build a relationship with someone who does not yet know Jesus Christ. They're neighbors. We have a lot of neighbors right now who do not know Jesus Christ. They're coming in as refugees. And it's not just, this is just one example. We have others in this area. There's oftentimes overlooked, I would say, can be what we saw in here, deaf. I don't know any. Does that mean they're not here? No, it probably means I'm overlooking them. We have a lot of refugees coming in. Do I know them? I know some. And I'm willing and wanting to know more. Do we have others? Sometimes I think the chemically addicted can be overlooked. And that's not true for everyone in here, but I know that it can be someone, because it puts us into a position where I don't know how to interact with you. And guess what? That's okay. That's letting that Holy Spirit lead us to go beyond what we're comfortable with. And I need to grow in that, but I think every one of us needs to grow in that. I need to be willing to let the Holy Spirit lead me beyond what I'm comfortable with. This is what I'm convinced of. I don't know how to do it. I will need your help to do it. I am convinced that the Holy Spirit is leading us down this path. I am convinced, 100% convinced. I alluded to it back in April, and over again it's being affirmed. We need to do something, and ESL training is what's on my mind and on my heart right now, to be able to provide English as a second language to those refugees that are coming in. It's time. I don't know how to do it, but God does. We were challenged at council, and this is a beautiful challenge I felt. You look at, we in the church, we have financial boundaries, right? There's only certain things we can do. I get that. I understand that. I live my life by that. I live my life by, if I don't need it, I don't buy it, okay? I'm very frugal. I collect copper wire while I'm biking on the road so I can recycle it, okay? I'm extremely frugal. I don't spend extravagantly. However, that causes me sometimes to fall into this trap of, well, if I can't afford it, we can't do it. I have other brothers around me that say, let's trust the Lord in this. Okay, but the dollars aren't there, okay? But the Lord's always been faithful, all right? But just understand, that's kind of where my mindset is. We as a church, in a sense, we have boundaries sometimes. We have financial boundaries. We have boundaries sometimes like, well, what can we do? What can't we do? What are our strategies? I understand that we have some boundaries, but can the Holy Spirit do anything he wants to do? The answer is yes. And if we have the Holy Spirit, then can the Holy Spirit do anything through this church that he wants to do? The answer should be an astounding yes. And so it's time to let the Holy Spirit do that which he can do. And again, I don't know how it's all going to work. There's a few things that I know that I'm going to step forward in. One is ESL training. I've already been in contact with people. There's an opportunity coming up later on this summer. I want to invite many of you to participate. Let's learn what it takes to do that. That's all. Let's not be afraid. I don't have to be afraid of sharing the gospel with my neighbors. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. I'm jumping a bunch of verses here, Kim. I have my clicker. I want to conclude with the final verse right here. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. There's no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. I don't need to be afraid to share the gospel with my neighbors, because the Holy Spirit has no boundaries. The Holy Spirit, I can be convinced, will lead them back to Jesus Christ. So whether I see people, like, oh, I just can't relate to them, whether I see people and I'm afraid of them coming in, I don't know what they're going to do, you're right, I don't. But I do know this, the Holy Spirit wants them to find Christ. I know that. The scriptures are clear about that. And if I can in any way be a vessel that helps to make that happen, that's what I want to be. And if you in any way can be a vessel by which to make that happen, that's who God wants you to be. And if this church can be a vessel by which that can lead people into relationships to be able to share the gospel, let's do it. So again, I don't have all the answers, but I am convinced the Lord is leading us this way. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to invite Lane and the worship team up. They're going to sing, and we're going to receive that second offering. This second offering goes to Alliance Missions. This church gave $50,000 just last year to Alliance Missions. That just makes my jaw drop, and I'm just so blessed by it. My socks are literally falling off right now because I have just been blessed that much, okay? And I'm not challenging you to say, whoa, we got to do better, got to do better. I just want you to continue to do what you've been doing, and that is submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit to give to Alliance Missions because they're doing great things. You saw a great story here. They commissioned this year, commissioned more missionaries than they have in a long time. Over 60 missionaries were commissioned to go out to do missions work just this council. That's a lot. However, they have financial boundaries. And that's where we get to step in and help. One of the cool things, we talked about it last week, someone came up and approached our president and said, could you use $500,000? It's an older lady, it's all I know. Could you use $500,000 to, you know, help with missions? He said, oh, yes. Yes, we can. And so she offered, she said, I will give you $500,000 in a matching grant. So up until the end of this month, June 30th, up until the end of this month, whatever is given to Alliance Missions, she will match it up to $500,000. So potentially, with all Alliance churches, we can give, in 1 month's time, we can give $1 million. That's going to help fund this. Is that not a cool opportunity? I'm ready to take advantage of that. I hope that you are too. I want you to be on board with what I am convinced that the Lord is doing with us, and that is to reach this community with the gospel. And many of them may not speak English. Many of them may have different religious beliefs, and that can be scary. But I have no fear, because I will love them with a perfect love that comes from Jesus Christ and let him do the work that only he can do, because if they're dead, I can't make them alive, but Christ can.